Is that the one we give? That is a nice Bible. What kind of crazy church is this? Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Okay, I hope you guys are finished. Are you guys finished? Because we're ready to get started.
Kol Hazman.
Praise the Lord. Reuben, how you doing, brother? All right. We are going to pray in, and Minister Ryan is here, and he's going to pray over the SALT members, and he has something that he wants to, a prayer that the Lord gave him to read over the SALT members. All the SALT members are so proud of you guys, the way you're iron sharpens iron, and you guys are really sticking together. I praise God for that.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Probably not.
Okay.
Actually, this prayer came from the members of SALT over the prayer calls, 12 different men. Each gave a combined prayer, and I wrote it. The Lord told me to write it down, and then he told me to read it. And then he told me that's the prayer that he wants read for tonight.
Hallelujah.
And this prayer is specifically for this house.
Amen.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you to this place, diligently seeking you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to meet us here today, and that none of us leave here without being changed in heart and mind for all eternity. Help us, Lord, to be submerged so much in you that the foolishness of the world dies in us. Open up our spiritual eyes to see more of you, Lord Jesus, from your word tonight. We ask that you would give to each and every person a vision of their future, whether it be of heaven, hell, or the tribulation, so that each person would be given an opportunity to choose you now and live for you here, so that they would see who you are and that you are a good and loving God. And there is nothing greater than being in you. We pray your kingdom will come and be a reality for each of us for all eternity. Teach us, Lord, that we have full access to you, that we are in communion with you, and we are in right standing with you because we have received, by faith, your finished work on the cross for our sins. We have received it by faith, and we walk in that faith. Help us to walk in that reality. May we be found worthy to escape all tribulation that is soon to come, and release us now of any tribulation of our own making, even any tribulation that's solely in our mind. Release us from anything that may prevent us from knowing you deeper. Help us to recognize who you are and who we are in you. Help us not to neglect so great a salvation that you have provided for us. Lord, fill our lamps with oil. Show us where to get the oil and how to fill it. And give us the determination to get it filled. Lord, you have given each of us talents. Lord, forgive us if we have buried them. Help us to dig them up and to invest them now in your kingdom. For they do no one good if when you come, we are found to be holding them.
Yes.
Lord, you have made us the light of the world through your Son. Help us not to put a basket over that light, but to place it on the lampstand for all to see. For what is in us is you, Lord Jesus. And the world needs more of you. Lord, your word says that with knowledge comes much sorrow and grief. Lord, give us more knowledge of your sacrifice, your word, and what's to come. Give us more knowledge of how we have, in any way, chased the world and our own desires. And then, Lord, grant us repentance and give us the opportunity, through your long-suffering and grace, to serve you today. Heavenly Father, we are praying for every ministry and minister that is remotely connected to this house. Lord, you did not intend for the end times to be a spectator sport, but to be a field filled with workers of your kingdom. We pray that you would anoint, protect, and provide for every minister within this house. Lord, some are in very hostile environments, and we ask that you would use all of them to produce a harvest of 1.5 billion souls.
Yes.
Lord, right now, we lay down our lives for you and for the sake of the ministry that you have called each of us to do. You gave us your perfect life for us. So we in turn give our lives back to you to accomplish your perfect will. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless the word, Father God, in Jesus' name. Give me a pair of reading glasses, Pastor Ben. Give me a pair of reading glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, it's going to be a rough night. Not bad. It would be like Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
I got it.
Hallelujah. Barbara, they want you to move your van so they can get out. Oh, you're in the same position I am, Pastor Dan. Okay. All right. So just in case, let me see. Ah, is this gonna hurt?
Uh-huh. You'd be surprised.
Oh no, those are perfect. And I look handsome. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. How is everyone doing? You guys have your notes with you? Good, good, good. We're living in very exciting times. I'm looking forward to any time now or Pentecost.
Yeah.
And everything is going really good, especially today. And people sent me studies, things that are going on. Ryan just told me that they've okayed what the, I mean, Brent just told me they okayed what the concentration camps to be used. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brett. The in 2013, a guy disclosed that they had purchased 30,000 guillotines and were keeping it at one of the concentration camps that they had built in Georgia. And well, he ended up dying for disclosing the information. But I don't think they're going to purchase 30,000 guillotines and not at some time want to use them, right? So these are the times and days we're living in, and this is why I told my wife I did not cry on Sunday. And she was like, you did cry. And I was like, no, I didn't. But I said I almost cried. Football players don't cry. And so I think it was really emotional on Sunday, because before I began speaking, the Lord was just trying to show me how important it was for people to recognize the danger that they're in and to really live for Christ. Because a lot of people don't really know the times and the hour that we're living in. And then a lot of people, they follow you like a prophet, and you tell them a million times, I'm not a prophet, I'm a watchman. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to show you what season we're in so you're prepared and ready to go into rapture. And so people give up, they go back in the world. And that was when I came to the microphone to be able to speak. I was thinking about all those people that have given up on God because the rapture didn't happen. And they don't know or understand that God is leading us to it.
Yeah.
I got called, what, in 2003 to do this? We started the church in 2004. And what I was saying on Sunday, based on what God has done, the way he has led us, the way he has orchestrated everything, the way he has made sure that we had a building to make sure that we were still here at the time when the rapture comes.
Yep.
God called me to do this, so I know, and I knew that he would provide everything until we leave. So we are leaving. God is leading me. He has been leading me. And as we're learning about the Bible, and as we're growing in Christ, and as you're hearing truth, don't forget one thing. When God says something, it's coming.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
In God's eye, it already happened, but it's coming. And you cannot ignore the fact that when God says something, it's going to happen. Two will be in one place, one will be taken, and the other one left is going to happen. Okay? I don't care how much Christians want to ignore it. You don't want to talk about it. It's going to happen. Okay? And it's going to happen in your time.
Yeah.
We're not looking for 100 years away. We're talking about it's going to happen in your lifetime. Yeah. And it's looking like very much the 120 years already started, and the continuation of the rapture will be the teeth of that judgment. So we've experienced a lot, and things are going, I mean, I'm excited because this is like, it burns in my heart to teach people the truth. A young lady sent me a video today of some horrible teacher. The guy's a Freemason, and he's really hooked in with Kenneth Copeland. I think his last name is Andrew Womack. And I said, this guy, you know, I know, you know, he's a Freemason, and he's really the Kenneth Copeland Freemason type, all this stuff. But it was so good that she is a member of our church that she said, oh, I'm listening to this guy. Could you tell me if he's okay or not? And I could say to her, no, he's a crook. He's also a Freemason. They're into very evil things. And because people need to know, because, you know, YouTube will put them all on there. And if you want to listen, you know, and you're not careful, you got to listen. And then you got to say, okay, now I got to ask my pastor, is this okay? Because it sounds good, but a lot of times it's not. Like, I need to keep my mouth shut sometimes. Because I was going to say something, and the Lord's like, don't say it. A lot of his fans are out there, and they're gonna be. Hey, Jersey Girl sent us a letter. And thank you for these glasses today, Pastor Ben. I don't know what happened to my glasses.
Told you.
Blessings to my S4C family. Thank you for being there and supporting the church and for teaching God's truth. Love you, Jersey Girl. Hallelujah. It's great to hear from you. Hope you and the hubby are doing really good out there, and you're doing lots of hair and your place is open and all that stuff. And this is from Shauna Randall. It says South Portland. Is that Maine? Is ME Maine?
I don't know.
I think it's South Portland, Maine. Dear Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, I want to thank you for your reply back to me. And she thanks you for the wooden cross and the bracelet. And wow, praise God. See, I'm interested in the Hebrew class. Get a hold of me, Shauna, for the Hebrew class. How can I get the information? I hope she has my email. Email me tomorrow, Shauna, and I'll get you all the Hebrew class information. Then our friends over in Gardena sent me a letter. I got to get over there, Scott. And this guy right here, he's sending me this to tell me to read a book I already read about the Pentecost rapture. I'm already excited about the Pentecost rapture. Hallelujah. This is Yini and her husband, her wonderful husband, Israel the poet. And she says, thank you for your encouragement and teaching us through the Holy Spirit of God. We will continue to watch for our bridegroom return. Thank you for for listening to my husband's song. I love the songs. Pastor Ben, did you bring me my CDs?
No, I couldn't find them. They're all DVDs, not CDs. I'm gonna get you some.
Okay. Anyway, I was trying to send you some music, but I only know how to send it up with CDs. And I walked into the store.
Yeah.
And I asked the lady, where do you guys keep your CDs? And she went, CDs? I was like, yeah, you know, to like burn music on. She's like, we haven't sold those since 2006. She said, you use CDs? I was like, yeah. She said, what you use them for? I was like, to listen to music. So I was like, before she insult me anymore, let me just get out of the store. Okay, I'm old.
Did she ask you, what did you tell her what was in your car?
Huh? I told her I have a CD player in my car. She said, you do? So I don't know. Times have changed. All right, Pastor Ben, I need some blank CDs so I can send Yeni and her husband some truth music.
That's
music.
So funny.
Hallelujah. You guys have the notes in your hand? Because I'm going to review a little bit, and then as I'm reviewing, we're going to get to what the Bible study is about tonight. Okay? We're talking about the judgment of the Nephilim, okay? We're talking about what's going on in the world right now, and I don't want to concentrate a lot on what they're doing, because what they're doing is not as important as what God's doing,
that's right.
Okay? Because the rapture and the church is what's important to God. Satan puts a lot of things on YouTube to get you distracted, but I'm not worried about his plans. I'm only worried about what God is going to do, okay? On Sunday, I read to you about Prince Philip and his statement that he wishes that he was a virus and he could come back and kill as many human beings as possible because he wants to get rid of the overpopulation. I read to you on Sunday Bill Gates' chart where he says we got to get rid of one of these has to go down to zero, okay? And when you say one of these have to go down to zero, the P stands for people. So he says in order for the world to survive, human beings have to be eliminated. And then, of course, the whole Nephilim audience clapped, and they loved him. And then there's another 92-year-old guy. I'm telling you guys, like the Clintons, and you see how long they live, even though they're horrible people? Nephilim live a long time, okay? It says, this other guy, Otterburn, says he's looking forward to depopulation. The Georgia Guidestone says 500 million human beings in the world, that's all we need. We can get rid of 6.5 billion of them, and the world would be a better place. So why do you think these people want to eliminate human beings? Why do you think that is? Huh? Do you understand why demons hate humans? And because I didn't want to do a big Bible study on where Nephilim came from, how fallen angels slept with women and they had children, and those children became giants in the world. And when those children died, they still had their spirits that were still in the world, and those spirits have become demons in the world. So now we have demons in the world, and these demons hate humans, okay? I was gonna say Christians, but they just hate human beings. And we saw Obama sign on the One World Trade Center. We remember, who is he talking about? We Nephilim remember, we Nephilim rebuild, we Nephilim come back stronger. WWW, which is 666, he knew it, but he's trying to let you know that this war between Nephilim and between God is still on, okay? And their plans are still on. So I want you guys to know what you're up against, okay? And I'm not really talking to Christians because I don't want you to be thinking about what you're up against with Nephilim, because we can care less. I'm talking to the world because I want them to know what they're about to experience, okay? Because they don't really think that the tribulation's going to be that bad, okay? And that's a horrible thing, because they have no idea that they're not going to be just dealing with human beings in the tribulation. They're going to be dealing with demons in bodies, okay? They're going to be dealing with clones with demon spirits, okay? Which is what we're dealing with now, but people don't believe that people are cloning and people are doing all this stuff. It's going on right in front of you. A lot of the actors and actresses are being cloned. A lot of politicians, people are being cloned. And the spirit that inside those body are Nephilim spirits, okay? So you guys have to understand what they're about to experience. And that's why I was sad on Sunday that Christians are walking away from God, not understanding what they're about to experience, okay? I read to you on Sunday, and I'm reviewing this because I didn't really get to finish on Sunday, but I want to finish today. I read to you Luke chapter 11, verse 24, and it says, when the unclean spirits go out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. So if a person has a demonic spirit living inside of them and it gets cast out in the name of Jesus, it says that spirit walks around in dry places looking for rest. It gets so much to the point that it says, and finding no place to rest, it says, I will return to the house from which I came from. So he goes back to the person and he finds the house clean. And then he says he goes into that person again and he brings seven more demons with him. So how many demons can live in a person? I don't know. But I know one thing for sure. Demons are in the world. They're the offspring of fallen angels who slept with women who had children. And these are the children of fallen angels. They are in the world. But now this is what I'm trying to tell you. In this world, we have, let me see if I put it on here. I'm pretty sure I did. There's a place called, it's a cloning center, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's called the Center for Genetics and Society. It's a cloning center, okay? They manufacture human beings from other human beings using DNA. But if people mail in DNA, they can also, like 23andMe says, their boast is that they're going to have the biggest DNA library or data bank in the world. And so they figured out a way to get DNA from human beings and have you pay for it, which is absolutely crazy. Like, I will send you my DNA and a check for
$175.
And it's absolutely crazy. But this is human beings. We don't understand what's going on. We don't even really think a war is going on over us, okay? We know that when we were kids, and you know, I'm talking to me and Pastor Ben now, because the rest of y'all wasn't born when we was kids. Sammy Davis Jr. was a Satanist and nobody knew it.
Nobody.
Now there's not a actor or artist or musician that is not boasting and proud about the fact that they worship Satan.
Yeah.
Okay? They all throw up the satanic symbols. They all put it in their videos. It's like they're proud that they worship Satan. And this didn't happen when we were kids. They were trying to hide it. We didn't know. You didn't know Bob Hope was a Satanist.
Didn't know until.
But all of these people were, and they were involved in a lot of evil things, but we didn't know it. But now They put it on Front Street. They want everybody to know because they say there's nothing they can do about it. It's coming. What's coming? Two in one place, one taken, the other one left. Has God ever said something that didn't happen? No. Okay, so understand, he's telling you what is about to happen. And he's talking to Christians. That's why he's telling us to walk worthy of your calling, to live for Christ, okay? To not be one foot in and one foot out, right? All of these things are things that God is warning us, be ready when I come, because when I come, it's a moment, a twinkling of an eye, be ready. And so let me finish up here. So here we go. This is where I'm still right here at this page. I'm going to be at the bottom because we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2 one more time because I need to read this scripture before I go to Revelation.
Pastor, if you look right up here, you'll see the page numbers.
Okay, thanks. You're on page 2. Thanks. Okay. See? Now in Daniel chapter 2, this scripture that I wanted us to understand, because what the scripture is saying is that these Nephilim, these demonic spirits, are going to mingle themselves amongst human beings in the end times. So the Bible is telling you, you're going to be living in this situation. Whether you believe it or not, you don't have to, okay? But whether you believe it or not, you're going to be living in an atmosphere where these spirits have found a way to have human bodies and they are mingling themselves amongst us, okay? So the best way to be careful is don't get involved with anybody that's in entertainment. Don't get involved with anybody that's a multi-millionaire, because the money comes from somewhere and they make sure that their people get rich, okay? So you got to be careful who you're dealing with, okay? I feel real bad for people who want to be actors and singers and dancers right now, because they have absolutely no idea what is going to cost them to be in that business, okay? This is not 1970, 1980. Now you're in a business that is fully being ran by demonic spirits.
Amen.
Okay, so it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, it says, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seeds of men, but they will not adhere to one another. So at some time, human beings are going to realize what we're dealing with, and we're not going to stay connected to them. We're going to realize what we're fighting against. And I'm saying we, but I'm not going to be here. I'm talking y'all. I don't want to say y'all because y'all think I'm from Texas. But this is what they're going to be fighting against. You understand? They're going to be fighting against spirits, okay? They're going to be fighting against people who are members of what's the restaurant again, Pastor Ben? The Cannibal Club, okay? We didn't hear about no Cannibal Club when we was growing up. But now you can just Google it.
Yep.
and call and make a reservation. You'll probably just have to tell them who you are, and they'll see if they can take you, you know? So understand the day and the times you're living in. This is not a horrible time for born-again Christians. This is happy times because we're about to leave, but this is a time for prayer, to hoping that other people will get saved. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17, I believe it is. Okay. I'm only going to read this because I want you to hear this word, okay? It says in Revelation chapter 17, it says, then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters and with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, you see where it says inhabitants? Mm-hmm. If you read the word inhabitants in Hebrew, it'll say yeshev. That meaning that you were a dweller of that place. You were inhabitant of Long Beach, okay? You were a dweller. Now, when you get to the book of Revelation, it's in Greek, but it doesn't just say dwellers. It's a compound word. Can we see that compound word there?
Compound
word, yeah. It's a compound word, and it's kata oku. So the first part of that word means cast down. The second part means dwellers. You understand? Now, the first part, kata, it says not only cast down, but with divine power and influence. So something is going to be cast down into the earth with divine power and influence that's going to become what? An inhabitant of the earth. Okay. So in the book of Revelation, and I think in chapter 6, they ask God, how long before you, until you avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? How long will it be before you avenge what they've done to us to the inhabitants of the earth? They don't call them just dwellers. The humans are just dwellers. These are cast down dwellers, okay? So people in the tribulation are going to be dealing with quite a bit of things that they've never seen, that they never thought they would ever see. But they just think, oh, I'm just not a Christian. If I cooperate, they'll treat me well. Well, first of all, they got to get down to their 500 million. So 6.5 billion of you have to go. So they're not going to start treating you well until they get down to a 500 million, right? So understand, sometimes I'm just thinking, the last dream that I had was so vivid that I asked God not to give me any more end time dreams. And this was like about 2010. And I dreamed that it was the tribulation and people, these military people with black on and masks, they were just going through the street, just shooting people. And they were stepping over people to get to other people to shoot people. And I'm just watching them kill people like they're insects. And then I was like, I woke up and I was like, Lord, what is this all for? Why are you showing me this? Because I was like, man, that was a crazy dream. And the Lord didn't say anything. But that next day, I got on the train and I was on my way to work. And I thought I'd witness to these two cute little Caucasian kids that were probably on their way to university or to school or whatever. And I said, they look like nice kids, but they probably don't know Jesus. Let me go and witness them. So I gave them a Jesus pamphlet. They called me every profanity word, a guy and a girl, two girls and a guy. They called me every profanity word that you could name of and wanted to know why was I giving this Jesus stuff to them. So, I mean, I can't, I'm in a suit that day. I'm about to go to work. I just went back and sat down in my seat and I'm like, wow. And God spoke to me right away. He says, see, you think you know people. You don't know people. I know their hearts. What's coming is what's coming. And I went, oh my goodness, tribulation is coming. Because God knows that they have rejected Christ. and their hearts are evil. These were not Nephilim, these were human beings. There are human beings whose hearts have fully rejected God. And so we have to understand what we're dealing with. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to go to the book of Micah. And in the book of Micah, we're going to be in chapter 7. Okay. I want everyone to know that tomorrow we're going to look at a Bible study from a guy named T.W. Tran, who did what I didn't know. He realized that the Passover, they had celebrated the Passover early this year. They didn't wait till the equinox. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain how that works to you tomorrow in the Hebrew class, because tonight I have to talk about this. But they didn't start Passover right, so now that pushed it up, you know, days. And so the Pentecost ends up being around June 20th, right? And so, and the Passover would have happened like April 27th. So 28, 29, 30th, then the first day of Omer counting would have been May 1st, 30-day count, and then 20 days in June, then you have Pentecost, okay? There's more about that in the study that he did that's pretty incredible. But I want to explain to you how important it is that we understand how the Jewish calendar works so that we know that we're right in the mix of Pentecost and seeing Christ, okay? And we have to understand the importance of the 21st year, because this is just the continuation of the 120th year. This is not like a whole new thing for God. This is, you saw the judgment come upon the world, you saw it start raining, now 2021 comes and you're saying, well, when the rain stops, everything will get back to normal. That's what Christians are saying. When one day I'll walk out and everybody will take their mask off, and we'll all be healthy, we can go to basketball games, the strip clubs will be open, I can go back to partying and drinking. And God said, no, once the 120th year started, once the rain started, the judgment is on. So what you'll see in 2021 is just a continuation of what you saw in the 120th year.
Man.
So it's going to conclude. It's not going to go backwards. You in Micah chapter 7? Now, listen to what I'm saying to you, because this is very important. Christ says, he says, when you see all these things, know that summer is near, okay? Summer is Pentecost, okay? When you see all these things, know that summer is near. So Jesus gives you the example that the rapture time is around Pentecost summertime, okay? Micah says this. This is God speaking. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard, but there is no cluster of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept away from the land. Now, when I say the godly have been swept away from the land, I'll read this in Hebrew before I read this in English. And it'll say, Hatzadik evad miha'aretz. The righteous people have avad, disappeared, vanished from the land. But it uses the word to vanish. Righteous people have vanished from the land. So he's telling you that these righteous people have vanished from the land. Let's see what happens after the righteous people vanish. It says, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have avowed or vanished from the land. He says this, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright worse than a thorn hedge. The thorn bushes are symbols of Satan. Okay? So he said the most upright man has the personality of Satan. When? After the people leave. Who's going to disappear? Two in one place, one taken, the other one left. I don't even understand why there's so few Christians that are not telling Christians this is what we need to be prepared for. But we got people now because they don't know the time and the hour and the day that we're living. They don't even know we just had a 120-year judgment. Some people, God told me, look, go back and tell them. Just as the people said, we didn't know that Elijah had came. The apostle said, why, Jesus, why is it that the scripture says Elijah is going to come? And he says, Elijah did come, and they did what they wanted to with. And he said, they realized he was talking about John the Baptist. He said, you missed it. John the Baptist was Elijah. And Jesus said, there you have it. You missed it. 2020 was the 120th year, and it was a worldwide judgment. Now, I want to ask you a question. About the book of Job. You guys are familiar with the book of Job? Okay. God asked Satan, what are you doing? He says, where have you been? He says, I've been going up and down in the earth, going to and fro. And he says, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, yeah, I have, but, you know, haven't you built a hedge around him that nobody can go near him? And he says, if you take away the hedge, he'll curse you.
To your face.
And God says, I give you permission to do it. Now, what some people say, wow, why would God do that? This is all a prophecy to tell you about something else. But this is what I got from it. Satan had to ask God if it was okay.
Yep.
Do you hear that? So do you think that the pandemic happened and Satan didn't have to go to God and say, I'm going to do something. Is it okay?
He did.
So this was allowed by God to happen, okay? And it was allowed by God to happen all over the world. You experienced a 120-year judgment. The same as in the days of the flood, they experienced a 120-year judgment. And it happened all over the world. Now, once the flood starts, it doesn't stop. It's a continuation until everything changes, until God comes down and breaks up everything and establishes a kingdom. You understand? So you're in the middle of it, and now they're about to see the teeth of it. You're in the summertime in Pentecost, and Christians aren't excited. I would be so excited. We're about to get out of here. We're about to get out of here, and we have to be understanding of the time and the dates that we're living in.
Amen.
Okay. Listen to the rest of this, because this is pretty crazy. It says here in verse 4, the best of them are like briars, the most upright, worse than a thorn bush. The day of your watchman has come. What's the watchman? I'm a watchman. Everybody talking about the rapture and telling people to stay ready are watchmen. He says, ha, now the day of your watchman has come. The righteous man has disappeared. Okay? The day of your watchman has come. The day God visited you, now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words. For what? Somebody might turn you in and send you to a concentration camp. You sitting there with your girlfriend and say, well, I didn't get my shots, but nobody knows. She might turn you in for a reward. You don't understand that the world doesn't understand what they're about to enter into. Okay? Some Christians still believe that Kanye got saved and was just trying to praise God. That's how naive we are. You understand? That's how naive we are. We have to wake up and realize there's a war going on and there are demons around us that hate human beings. Okay, watch this. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. I want you to see the pattern. Listen what it says here. The righteous, yeah. It says, the righteous, Hebrew word, tzaddik, the good people. Remember the other one scripture says, the good man has avad? Mm-hmm. This one says, the tzaddik, the righteous man, has disappeared. And no one ponders in his heart. Devout men, which means the saints, have been taken away. And no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from what? Evil.
Where are you reading from, Pastor?
Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. They don't understand what happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? The righteous, the Bible is trying to tell you in the Old Testament and the New Testament, a day is coming when the righteous are going to disappear. It's called the blessed hope. It's what most Christians are supposed to be talking about and living for, and the reason why that we make sure we stay with God. And it says here, the righteous have disappeared, but no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. It says, those who walk upright enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you who didn't disappear, come here, you sons of sorcerers, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes, who are you mocking? Now who are you mocking? Ain't no such thing as a rapture. Oh, you people always talking about disappearing. You just afraid to go through the tribulation. I certainly am. So we have to understand that the question that God's going to ask them is, now who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue now? Are you not a brood of rebels, offsprings of liars? You burned with lust among the oaks, and under every spreading tree you sacrifice children in the ravine and under the hanging crag. The idols among the smooth stones and the ravine are your portion. So he's telling them, look, as soon as the righteous people disappeared, what happened? Evil came. The day is coming. You understand? The day is coming. I don't care if nobody believes me. I know one thing. The book I'm reading from hasn't been wrong yet. It hasn't been wrong yet. One of these days, and I believe very soon, someone's going to say, they left. They're gone. It really did happen. Oh my God. What do we do now? Someone's going to say that. You know how I know that for sure? Because he hasn't been wrong yet.
10 minutes back.
Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm trying to remind you of what's about to happen. I'm trying to remind you of who made the promise. Okay? Jesus says, see this temple and everything, how beautiful it is, but I'm telling you right now, this temple will be torn down and every stone will be turned over in this generation. 70 years of generation, 70 AD comes, army comes in, burns down the temple, overturns every stone, takes all of the gold out of the temple, exactly in the year that Jesus said. Oh, but he's just joking about that rapture thing. That one taken and other one left. That's not real. I don't even know why people pay attention to that part. That's so strange. How are people just going to disappear? Say, ask Enoch, he'll tell you. Ask Elijah, he'll tell you. It's not like God hasn't done it before. He's not doing something new. He's going to do it in abundance, but it's not new.
Right.
Here we go. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who fall asleep in him. So anyone who dies in Christ goes to be with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. According to the Lord's own words, he said, Jesus told us this. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. After we're raptured, we will always be with Jesus. We will never be out of his presence. It will be a brand new start. It will be a new beginning. It's not the end times. It's the beginning times. For Christians, we're living in the beginning times, and we should be excited. And we got Pentecost coming up in the 21st year, and we haven't even talked about TW Trans thing. And then another brother, who I think his name is Rodney, he sent me something, incredible studies. These guys are on it. They're like, it's looking like Pentecost, Pastor Sandy. Let me send you some numbers. People are sending me stuff, and I had to go back and pull up. I had to go back and pull up a article written by a guy named Dr. John Kesser about the equinoxes and how it controls time. And how you can't start a year until the equinox first, and then you have to go to first blood moon after the equinox. I know Israel didn't do that this year. I knew they didn't do it in 2017. So I know we're off, that the calendar's off, and I know that what T.W. Tran wrote is absolutely correct, and what my other friend wrote is absolutely correct, because they understand. And I'm going to try to teach you about the equinox tomorrow, because I don't want to do it tonight, because I want to put you guys to sleep. But it is an incredible study how God counts time and how he keeps the moon calendar in perfect union with his feast days if the people who are keeping the calendar do what they're supposed to do. And even though there was a new moon, the spring equinox had not come, and the spring equinox is the beginning of a new year, and the first new moon after the equinox begins the new year. There are four equinoxes in the Bible. Okay? They're in the Bible that tells you when the month is supposed to start. So we know that the calendar was off. We know that the timing is perfect now. We know that Pentecost is coming. And we're in this 21st year, and this thing's about to happen. And I haven't felt this good in a long time, because I really believe we're about to go home. But I know humans. You're planning. You think. Here you are. It's raining. The boat's going up, and you're going, things are going to get better. Everything will be going back to normal. Hey, no, everything's going to go back to normal. How long can you tread water? I'm not looking for things to go back to normal. I'm looking for the word of God to be completed, the word of God to come true. Okay? How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. It looks like June 20th. I actually have, because we go May 1st, and then that's 30 days. And then you got 20 days in June, so that's the 50 days of Omer. So we're looking around June, Pentecost hitting, and in this 21st year, after the worldwide judgment, and now they're passing bills on the use of the concentration camps that they built in 2006, that me and Pastor Ben and everybody, hey, did you hear that? Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, what a bunch of knuckleheads they are. They say they're building concentration camps. Oh, yeah, like, they're so, those guys are weird. I'm not going to that church anymore. People leaving the church because me and Pastor Ben talking about, they're building concentration camps. They built 600 of them. Yep. Halliburton funded them.
Yep.
Now, God is showing me this stuff. Then the wrestler gets a TV show called Conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to the concentration camp and sees that they have 500,000 caskets at each concentration camp.
That can fit three people.
That could fit three people in each casket. And he says, yeah. Jesse Ventura. Yeah. And he's like, they're telling us that these are casket liners. He says, well, what are they for? And why do you have, how many are here? 500,000. Wow, that's a lot of caskets. And so after he starts doing, then someone calls and says, hey, Pastor Sandy, you see, Jesse Ventura says the concentration camps are real. I said, I told you that in 2006, they were building concentration camps. Hey, did you see all the Walmarts that have closed down? Said they're turning them into concentration camps. No way. Look who Walmart was, he was the guy in charge of building concentration camps when the whole Japanese thing happened with the whole bombing and everything, and they started putting Japanese in. He was the guy in charge, and he was now the guy that owned all the Walmarts and passed down to his family, and now they're using the Walmarts, and they've closed down some, and they got them all. Everything is being set up for the demise of human beings. But you don't believe me. 15-year-old kid died. His mother convinced him that we're gonna get the shot together in Colorado. 15-year-old kid, no health problems, nothing. He goes to practice and he dies 2 days after. And they're still got celebrities coming on. Don't forget to do what's right. It's me, Dr. J. It's me, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Whatever celebrity you like, telling you, just be on with the plan. 15 years old. 15. Because his mom said it's going to be okay. Let us take the word of God serious. Tomorrow we're going to break down exactly how close this thing is and exactly the crazy numbers that set us up at Pentecost. It is absolutely crazy. And I just want to go over it tomorrow so that you see it and that you see what has happened since 1948 and why them having their 73rd birthday only gives 7 years left before the 80th year. And so the 80th year is what Jesus says, this generation shall not pass. So Israel's generation will not pass. You're on the 73rd. There's only about 7 more years left, you guys, on that generation thing. So it's winding down. We're actually seeing, let's see if Jesus is going to be right. That's what we're actually looking at.
Yeah.
Is Jesus really right? Do they really only have 7 years? Because if they only have 7 years, that means that 7 years is tribulation time, which means that we have to be gone, which means we should be excited. Repent. You're living in the beginning. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man, I forgot this.